Welcome, everybody, to Eye on the Illini. We are doing a preview of the Illinois-Wisconsin game, and I have been lucky enough to have Asher Lowe from Locked On Badgers come and talk to us a little bit about what's going on with Wisconsin. And I would urge you to take a look and find his podcast. If you're a Wisconsin Badgers fan, you will not want to miss it. He puts together some good stuff, and the Locked On Network, it has a great product, and he is no different than many of the other Locked On podcasts that you may have seen. Thanks for coming on board. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk about this one. All of a sudden, I think Wisconsin has more of a chance than I thought maybe yesterday.
Yeah, that's kind of how the Illini fans are feeling right now. We had that first game. Illinois had a really nice game by Io, ended up getting his triple-double. This Wisconsin team, is it less athletic than what we've seen in past years, or is there something else going on that maybe makes this team a little less explosive than what we've seen out of Wisconsin basketball?
Yeah, I think when you're comparing it to the Final Four teams, I wouldn't use less athletic necessarily, but less creative in terms of individual creators. I don't think this team has enough offensive individualism to get stuff done sometimes. It's sometimes just swing around the perimeter. That's the possession. It's boring to watch, right? It can be slow, but pace has never worried Greg Gard or Bo Ryan in this Wisconsin basketball era. But sometimes it's not about the pace. It's just about the fact that nobody can beat their man off the dribble. And whether that's – it's not always athleticism that allows you to get by somebody, right? It's pure skill, craftiness, whatever it is, knowing when to attack, knowing how to attack. And this team really doesn't have enough offensive creation to be like a team like Illinois or be an Iowa or be a Michigan like we've seen this year, their run. So they have to rely on their defense, and their defense hasn't been as good as past Wisconsin teams at times. At times it's looked really good, but at times the perimeter defense especially, which is something that if you think of Wisconsin basketball, you're never wondering in the last 10 years at least about, oh, how's the perimeter defense? How are their guards defending? Are their guards bad defenders? And these guards aren't bad defenders individually. Brad Davison does good things on that end. Johnny Davis does really good things on that end. But there's been times and lapses in games where it seems like teams can break them down and get into the paint whenever they want. Io was a good example, and Io was just a great player. So you can't fully put the blame on Wisconsin's defenders when Io's going or when a guy like Luka Garza's going, right? They're just great individual talents. But the defense on the perimeter and the offensive creation, I feel like, has been the difference this year.
Okay. Yeah, that it was interesting when I watched. I was a little bit surprised. I knew that Kofi's got a size advantage on the inside. I thought that they might be able to use a defense by committee and slow him down. They played well against him, but I was maybe expecting a little bit more on the inside. Trice is always, he's a good player. He played very well against Illinois in the last game. You think there's any wrinkles? Obviously, we can get to Io in a minute, but any wrinkles that you think they'll do differently, or is there any part of their game that they're playing better? Because obviously, this was a few weeks ago. Is there anything that they're a little bit better at right now that we might be causing the Illini some problems?
I don't think specifically there's been a huge change. I think it's more about the Illini, right? If Io doesn't play, all of a sudden that opens up a whole world of possibilities, because I don't know if any team in the Big Ten, maybe Trace Jackson Davis for Indiana, but relies on one player as much as Illinois relies on Io for everything. I mean, he, in my opinion at least, is everything and creates almost everything when they're going right. And so to me, that would be the difference, right? So I don't think there's a huge difference you're going to see with Wisconsin. Nate Reavers too, if you're wondering about dominating inside and Kofi going off and why isn't Wisconsin as good on the interior? Nate Reavers, who is a senior, a guy that's been growing every single year in this program, has just not had it this year. And it's hard to describe why. It's looked physical at times. It's looked mental at times. Like, he just isn't in games. It's a really hard year, right? It's a pandemic year. They're getting tested all the time. And I work for ESPN Radio in Madison, and Ben Brust had a really interesting take on this. He's a host for Scout Zone Brust on ESPN, and obviously Ben Brust played on Wisconsin's Final Four teams, so he has an interesting insight into this. And he's basically just saying, like, when I watch him play, it just looks mental to me. It looks like he's mentally having some struggles. And that's just speculation, right? We don't know what's going on. But it really doesn't look like a basketball issue. Like, it looks like he's just not in games. And having to get tested, like I said, a bunch, not being able to have fans in the building. Who knows what it is? Whatever it is, he's just not right. And if he's not right, Wisconsin's not doing anything in March. He still has time to fix it.
Yeah, and he was one that was a surprise to me because I really kind of look forward to that matchup and just to see what he could do. And obviously, he didn't have his greatest game against Kofi. You know, Illini, a lot of us Illini fans, we look at it a little bit different. I think it's clearly Io's the best player on the team. There's no doubt about that. But when you're game planning, I wonder if college coaches have to game plan for Kofi on both ends before they game plan for Io, just because he's such a disruptive force, whether it's in the middle causing your whole off, you know, the opposing team's defense to have to compensate in so many ways for his presence. And then obviously Illinois is a much better defensive team when he's lurking in the lane, letting guys make mistakes because he's there to clean up the mess. Anything that, you know, anything you think that they'll have for Kofi, or you think it's going to be one of those times where now that they've got Io out of the picture, in theory, you don't have to work. They can maybe double team Kofi a little easier.
Yeah. I think you do send the double for sure. A lot more, especially off of the non-shooting threats, whether it be, who would you slot into the starting lineup? Do you think Curbelo would start?
You know, that's going to be the interesting question. The way he played in the second half against Michigan State, I would say Curbelo all the way. The way he played in the first half against Michigan State, I would say not Curbelo. So Curbelo has this interesting ability because he's got a fifth year in terms of both lateral speed and burst. So he is really hard to deal with, but he's so quick. And Wisconsin did this to him a couple times. It's almost like they let him get past the first guy and then boom, they get him in the trap and, you know, the help defense comes over and he's just dribbled from an open shot all the way into a problem. And I have to admit, they gave him fits the last game. And there was a lot of times when it really felt like Wisconsin almost baited a trap and let him dribble in, you know, let him dribble into problems. So I'm a little bit curious as to what they're going to do, because if he plays well, Illinois's got a good chance. But boy, if he doesn't, this could be a very rough game for the Illini on the offensive end of the court.
Yeah, and the double is going to come more often if I was not on the floor, for sure. I think that without Io, you really lose a lot of open looks for other people, not Kofi. You lose a lot of looks for a guy like Frazier. You lose looks for Williams, whoever's hitting threes out of Miller, whoever's going to hit threes on the wing, you're losing a lot of those open looks when you take Io off the floor, because he's the one that collapses the defense. He's the one that attracts the attention. And so I'm curious to see how the Illini three-point shooters space without him, how many looks they get, how their looks compare to when he is on the floor, because they get a lot of clean looks, a ton. Like Trent Frazier just lives in that corner. And I feel like gets like seven clean looks a game and hits at least three of them. So at least when I watch him this year. So he's a good example of a guy that really benefits from having Io on the floor, maybe even more in some ways than a guy like Kofi. I'd be interested to see how the shooters react to Io not being on the floor.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. Defensively, Io puts a lot of pressure on on the opposing team. 6'5". We actually think he might be a little bit taller. I'd be very interesting at the combine to see if he comes in 6'6" or a little bit more, but he can also apply defense, and he's done a really good job many times handling usually the second scorer. Frazier always draws the toughest opponent. And I think that's another area that the Illini will miss him, assuming he's not playing. Now, if I judge my Io meter correctly, he seems to think he wants to try to play as soon as possible, but I will tell you, I'm not certain if somebody can turn around quite that quick and be ready to go. I tend to think it may be a little harder. Yeah,
I have the Rip Hamilton Detroit Pistons 04 finals mask on.
Yes, and that's exactly, you know, you got Rip Hamilton, you got Kofi. Now, I will say that my son played a soccer season right after a basketball season with a mask like that. And we paid to get one that was clear, et cetera. And the real interesting comment that he had is that your mask is going to be a certain thickness, you know, maybe a quarter of an inch, maybe a little less than that. But as it fits up around the eyes, it does alter the far ranges of your peripheral vision a little bit. So that'll be something that IO's got to get used to. I'm not saying it's going to be a game changer or impossible, but I do think that there's going to be a few times when you're watching something out of the corner of your eye that it might be a little challenging. So if you were looking at if you were going to predict this, let's try to do two predictions, because I don't think it's fair to have a prediction that's maybe, you know, that would be countered by IO playing or not playing. What do you think is going to happen if IO is unable to make it back for this game? You have any predictions there?
Yeah, I think Wisconsin wins the game if IO is not able to make it back. I mean, you have such a short turnaround time for trying to design something without him in the lineup. You're not going to change a ton of stuff, right? It's 3 days and it's probably short term. He will be back. It's just a question of when. He'll play in March, so it's not a worry there, at least in my opinion, based on what I've seen out from the Illini reporters and such and the state of his injury. So I think Wisconsin wins the game, because the thing about having Io and Kofi is you have the two best players on the floor when you're playing Wisconsin, in my opinion, at least. The two best, biggest problems, definitely, on the floor. So you take Io away, right? You lose a ton of open looks for your shooters. You don't have that guy that can just beat his man anytime he wants. I think a lot of it rides on Andre Curbelo, and I love Andre Curbelo. He's one of my favorite players in the entire conference. I just think that Wisconsin is designed well to stop somebody like that versus stopping somebody like Io. Curbelo relies on quickness, yeah, but savviness, kind of getting to a spot, knows angles really well. That's something Wisconsin can handle more than just kind of an athletic problem like Io. So to me, Curbelo matches up better for Wisconsin. Then obviously Io's the better player right now. I'm just saying that Curbelo fits to what Wisconsin can do defensively better. And then I think Wisconsin comes out and just some momentum, I hope, from that Northwestern win. I hope there's some good feeling right now in that locker room, because it feels like there hasn't been for a long time. And they know this is one of their last chances to get a win that they can feel great about heading in to March, because they've won games, but they're 0-5 against the top four in the Big Ten. And that's a really alarming statistic when you're about to play all those teams in a couple weeks in the dance. So when you're playing teams, if not them, you're playing teams that are that good in a couple weeks if you want to make a run. So this is a really good chance for them to feel great about themselves heading in. If Io plays, I said this before, Wisconsin would have to shoot the lights out to beat a healthy Illinois team. I said that after game one. And because when you have the two best players on the floor, there's just not a ton you can do. Wisconsin should have been in the game in Champaign. That should not have been a blowout win by any means. They missed 10 threes that I would take. And I've been on them about shooting too many threes, shooting them at different times when I feel like they're rushed or when they're kind of scrambling. They go down eight. They kind of just start chucking sometimes. That wasn't the case in Champaign. Those were almost all great shots, and they just missed them. They just missed it. Pretty simple. Just clank. Michael Potter pick and pop. Couldn't buy one. His offense has been going the last two games. So I'd watch for him, especially on those pick and pop threes. If Wisconsin's going to have a chance, he's going to have to hit that shot very consistently. But like I said, if Io plays, Wisconsin has to shoot the lights out, or I think Illinois wins again and sweeps them.
Okay. Yeah, I tend to think that you kind of stolen my thunder. I think it'll be awfully hard for Illinois to win without Io. With Io, I think he can make the difference and lead them to a victory. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's 15 points or 1 point, and I'll take the one. The other thing I think you talked about was I was amazed, particularly in the first half of that Wisconsin-Illinois game, the number of open looks that these guys with just, you know, beautiful form, everything happened but the ball going through the net. I mean, it was really one of those games where, you know, as a guy who grew up when Illinois would beat Wisconsin in football and basketball automatic every year, it was really fun to see that. but there was in the back of your mind, there's that little tickle that can we play them again? Will they miss this many wide open shots? And I'm not certain that that's going to happen a second time.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't ever again this year, or Wisconsin's season will be over if it's a one and done scenario. That's why it's so hard to predict, right? At the NCAA tournament and all this stuff, a 40-minute scenario in basketball, I mean, when two teams aren't that – Illinois is the better team, but when the distance isn't that much between two teams in March, like, how much is decided by make or miss? A lot. Especially free throws, man. Oh, my God. Like, one-on-ones in the NCAA tournament, when you miss that front end, oh, killers.
Yeah, well – the Illini have a long history of interesting bumps and bruises from the NCAA tournament. They're one of the few teams. There were two different events that have happened to the Illini in NCAA tournament that the NCAA has made a rule that can't happen anymore. They lost an Elite Eight game on Kentucky's home court against Kentucky with some baffling calls in 1984 that resulted in that can't happen anymore. And, of course, the last time we were in the NCAA with the tipped out-of-bounds play against Miami in less than 2 minutes when it was clear that it didn't go off the Illinois guy, they put in the rule that you can review with 2 minutes. So the Illinois fans seeing Io get hurt this late in the season, they're like, oh, great, we're back to normal. But I think it should be a heck of a game. Illinois has got to see what they can do tonight. They go against Nebraska. Nebraska is not a good offensive team, but they do play good defense. And Illinois will be for certain without Io tonight. A game that looks like an easy W that probably every Illini and Nebraska fan put down as a win for the Illini all of a sudden becomes a risk. As we wrap up, one question I would like to ask you, obviously with your knowledge of the Wisconsin team in basketball, what's going on in recruiting with Wisconsin? Are they getting the interest of the players that you think they need to succeed again and continue this tradition on?
Oh, Wisconsin recruiting is interesting, especially in basketball. They do things pretty differently than a lot of teams. They don't throw out a ton of offers. The first thing. So if you see an offer from Wisconsin, you know it means something usually. They're not a team that's going to throw out, five times the offers that they need in terms of a class, right? Whereas a lot of teams will just kind of throw darts and just offer. And then basketball is different because in-state basketball recruiting is very different than in-state football recruiting. In-state football recruiting holds a lot more weight, whatever it is. And I think it's AAU and the global national basketball scene that is club basketball, travel basketball, and all that. And the fact that there are these just, deep NBA rich programs that have built up an idea of if you're the best player in the country, you're going here. I don't care where you're from. Whereas football hasn't really done that. Alabama does that. But overall, it's a lot more of I'm a Wisconsin guy, born and bred. I'm going to Wisconsin in football. So it's strange because they don't go after a lot of the top guys, right? Then there was the whole Tyler Hero saga. I don't have to get into that. But they sometimes will go after a 5-4-star guy that is from the state, whatever. But most of the time, a lot of those guys, even if they offer, aren't really looking at the Badgers. With that being said, the Badgers have gotten a ton of really, really good pieces this year, this 2020 class and this coming 2021 class that I'm really excited about. Johnny Davis is an absolute stud, but Chucky Hepburn next year is having a really great year in the state of Nebraska. He's a 4-star point guard that I think is going to shoot up recruiting rankings by the time he's graduated. He's a guy that's top 100, in my opinion, for sure. And if they don't have him there already, they will have him there soon. He's had just an incredible year in Nebraska. Does everything. Just a classic Wisconsin point guard where he's not going to score 30 a night. He's not going to take 15 shots a game, but you're not going to beat him off the dribble, right? He's going to make smart basketball reads. He's athletic. He can fly, but he can also be savvy with it. He's a good shooter, not a great shooter. He's going to become a better shooter in college, as most guards do. But really excited about him as a name to watch for Wisconsin next year coming in.
Well, I was hoping for gloom and doom, but you just ruined that for me. But we really appreciate having you on. Before I do some plugs for Illini guys, Tell everybody where they can find you and make sure that if they want to know about the Badgers, they know exactly where to go.
Yep, at Locked On Badgers on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, Locked On Badgers, at AOW_33 on Twitter, and then BadgersWire.com is the USA Today Sports Wisconsin site covering Wisconsin football and basketball, and all things Big Ten, really, in terms of college football, college basketball, recruiting as well, covering a ton of Wisconsin recruiting and recruiting battles inside the Big Ten for different athletes. So Badgers Wire, Locked On Badgers, and on Twitter at AOW_33.
Perfect. Thanks, Asher. And
yes, for having me.
This is Mike Kegley from the Illini guys. And I want to tell everybody to make sure that you pay attention. We have just a few days left in our 3-night Maui resort contest. Please, if you get subscribed and annually by Sunday, you'll be able to be in that. Plus, we have our $1,000 bracket breaker contest. So please, if you get signed up by Sunday, you'll be able to double dip. So thanks, everybody, and have a great day.